Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turning your Bibles, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. In verse 14, you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Two things that are really important for all of us, doesn't matter how old we are. If you learn how to do this when you're young, you're going to do yourself a huge favor when you're older. If you did not learn this when you were young, you still need to learn it when you're older. You continue in the things that you have learned. Knowing who you learned them from, this is very important. You receive the Word of God and you continue in it. The Word of God is your provision for everything. You receive the Word of God and you continue in it. Not only do you continue receiving it, which you do, you also continue in the things that the Word of God teaches you. That's one of the reasons it's given to us, is to instruct us, and it instructs us about literally everything. So whatever that Word of God instructs us in, we continue. In other words, we use the instructions and we live according to the instructions of the Word of God. We continue in the Word of God. The other part is that you remember who taught you these things. This is very important. Nowadays, it is just as important as it's ever been. There's all kinds of people saying all kinds of things. Some of them are right, some of them are not right. And it can become very confusing knowing what is right and what is not right if you listen to everybody. The answer is, you remember who you learned the Word of God from. And that you accept as being right. Now, no pastor is a perfect pastor. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that any pastor is perfect. But what this does, it helps you to avoid confusion. Who do I listen to? Listen to your pastor. That's who you listen to. Why? Because these other 10 people are saying something and maybe it's all different. So who do you listen to? Listen to your pastor. The consistency is what God is after. Yeah, maybe your pastor isn't perfect. No pastor is. Don't ever expect him to be perfect, because if you do, you'll be disappointed and doesn't matter where you go. But even with his imperfections, the fact that he's teaching you the Word of God to the best of his ability means that you have something constant in your life, and it's that constant thing that allows the Holy Spirit to work in your life to guide you in all truth, so that he can direct you, so that he can help you, so that he can encourage you and teach you and do all the things that the Holy Spirit does for us. If I'm constantly trying to figure out what's what and who's who and what's right, I'll never get to the point where the Holy Spirit can just guide me. And so Paul says to Timothy, and Timothy was one of Paul's disciples. He was a pastor that Paul trained. He says to him, continue in the things that you've learned and been assured of, knowing who you've learned them from. My pastor died in 2008. He's the man who trained me. He had a huge heart attack a few years prior to that. And it looked like we were going to lose him then. And I asked God, what will we do if Pastor dies? And God said to my heart, now it was clear as day, I'm not saying that I heard him out loud, I didn't. I could hear him in my heart. By the way, when God speaks, you hear him in your heart. You don't hear him in your ears. You don't hear him in your head. You hear him in your heart. He said, clear as day, you'll continue in the things that he taught you. That is a huge provision. I never anticipated how important that would become in my life. But it has. It's become immensely important. That I knew who it was that taught me, that trained me, and I knew what it was that he taught me. And that has protected me more than anything else. That has taken care of me. That has helped me more than anything else. And some challenging trials come, and this becomes our provision. Now, in John 10:10, Jesus says that the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The devil is not your friend. He will rob you, he will kill you, or he'll destroy you. That's his goal. Don't ever let him say, oh, how nice. No, whatever he's bringing is there to steal, kill, and destroy, even if it looks good for a season. Remember, sin can give you some pleasure for a season. For example, if I gamble and I win, or if I gamble and I lose, but I have that thought, oh, what if I won? But then he stole whatever amount of money from you, usually, and then some people win, and those people, it's amazing how many of them say, if they could do it over, they would have never done it. They didn't benefit from winning. It ruined them. It destroyed them. They couldn't handle it. Amazing how many people lose their families and friends because they won money. You get these people who are playing the lottery hoping to win $100 million, and so many people who have actually experienced that say it was the worst thing that ever happened to them. You see, that's the thief. He lured them, they got what they wanted, and it didn't turn out the way they hoped. And it's always like that with the thief. He lures you, you get what you wanted, and then you realize it's not what you were hoping for. It's actually perhaps often the opposite. It actually damages you. That's the job of the thief. But Jesus came, he said, that you may have life and that you may have it super abundantly. Now, we have the Holy Spirit in us. We got that when we believed in Christ. When we trusted Him as our Savior, He entered. He's there permanently. He will never go away. He guides you in all truth in John 16:13. He gives you life. He comforts you when you need comfort. He gives you hope when you need hope. He understands everything about you. You know how sometimes you feel that somebody doesn't understand you? It's one of the most common things that teenagers will often say, oh, people just don't understand me. He completely understands you. The Holy Spirit understands every single thought you have, where it's coming from, why you have it. He gets how you feel. He knows what it's like. He's there with you. He's feeling it with you because He's living inside of you. He is experiencing what you are experiencing. And He is God with all the ability of God, with all the ability to help you, with all the ability to take care of you, and He's living inside of you. See, God came so that we would have superabundant life, and that superabundant life comes from Him. Now, Galatians 5:25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let's also walk in the Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit is in you. Start utilizing Him. Start using Him as your best friend, as your resource, as your help. Start asking Him. Start relying on Him. Start going to Him. Use Him all the time. That's why He's there. He desires for you to do that. People sometimes say, well, I got to rely on myself. Forget it. Don't even try. Rely on the Holy Spirit. What do I know of what's going to happen in 5 minutes? The Holy Spirit knows what's going to happen in the next eternity worth of time. So rely on Him. That's where abundant life comes from. If you rely on the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5:22 says you will have the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the results of the Holy Spirit. The first one is love. If you are reliant on the Holy Spirit, if you are in tune to the Holy Spirit, you're listening to Him, He's communicating with you, not in a out loud kind of a way, but He's guiding you, the first thing He'll produce in you is love. The Word of God will take you to that. Then you're going to be able to do something you've never anticipated. You're going to be able to love your enemies. in John 6:35. And Jesus does tell us to do this. That's one of the things where we get terribly robbed by the thief. You have an enemy, the enemy will come and he will use people. Love those people that he's using. Love your enemies. Now, that's not a goody two-shoes saying. Sometimes Christians are like, well, we gotta love our enemies because we're Christian. You're toast. That's not why you love your enemies. He specifically says in Luke 6:35, love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great in heaven. That's the number one thing. Your enemy is there to make you rich. In heaven. Not in time, in heaven. In heaven rich is much better than in time rich, because in heaven rich you cannot lose it and you cannot mess it up. In time rich, you can lose it and you can mess it up. Not in heaven. So your enemy is actually there to be a huge blessing to you, even though they're a pain in the neck. But they're there to be a huge blessing to you. That's why God allowed them. Now, here's the thing about loving your enemy. An enemy has no ability against you if you love him. We don't often think about that. Sometimes enemies are considered enemies because they're hurtful to us. They hurt our feelings. They make us feel bad. They try to wound our lives. Sometimes they'll take things from us. Love them. Loving your enemy is the biggest protection you can have against your enemy. Richard Wurmbrand, who is a really interesting guy, he was a Romanian pastor in the days of communism. And he spent 14 years being tortured in a communist prison because he would not deny Christ. And he came to a conclusion that was remarkable. Now, you have to think with this for a second to get it. He said, if you will what you must, in other words, you're willing to do whatever you must do, then you must only what you will. In other words, then you only have to do what you want to do. If you want to do what you have to do, then you only have to do what you want to do. It's kind of like that with loving our enemy. When you love your enemy, you're not looking for his harm, you're looking for his benefit. So let's say that an enemy takes something for you. Well, you love your enemy, you want to give it to him anyway. He can't steal anymore. You can't steal what I'm willing to give. You can only steal when I'm not willing. This is true of a lot of things. Loving your enemy is your greatest protection against your enemy. They can't hurt you if you love them. They can only hurt you if in your own thinking you think they've taken something away from you. Whether it's something that's in the emotions or in the mind, or if it's something like a car, or only if you think they've taken something from you can they hurt you. But it's all in how you look at it. Loving your enemy will cause you to look at them correctly, the way God sees them. Now, here's the thing that God does. In Jeremiah 31:3, God draws them with an everlasting love. He takes his enemies and he loves them because it transforms the enemy to where they're no longer an enemy. They become a friend. This happened in the United States in World War II. After America beat Japan, General MacArthur, who was the main general for the American forces fighting against Japan, started to become essentially the governor of Japan. He loved his enemy. He didn't try to destroy them. He didn't try to hurt them. Instead, He said, you can keep your emperor, you can keep your culture, you can keep everything you have. And we're going to come in and we're going to be friends to you. We're going to love you. Do you know what happened? Japan became one of the best friends America had. They were one of the worst enemies America had. But now they're one of the best friends America has. Why? Because love will transform the enemy to where there are no longer an enemy. Now, some people will not respond to that. Then love is still the best protection you have. Satan would like to take that away from you. Satan wants to take away your life. He wants to take the Word of God away from you. He wants to take faith away from you. He wants to take love away from you. He wants to take relationships that are godly away from you. And he wants to replace them with things that are damaging. Don't let Satan steal the things God desires to give you. The things God gives you are eternal and they come with great reward. Satan would love to steal them from you. In Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Don't be care-filled about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, and prayer is when you pray for others, and supplication is when you pray for yourself, with thanksgiving, being grateful, because you know God's going to answer you. So you have something to be grateful for. Let your request be made known to God. The result of that is that the peace of God, which passes understanding. In other words, the peace of God passes your understanding of what's going on. You'll still have peace even though things are going bad. You may realize, oh, these things are not going well. People are not doing well. Situations are bad. But I still have tremendous peace because peace of God passes understanding. It will guard your heart and your mind. So when you do get into this situation, no matter what it is, pray. Pray for others. Pray for yourself. That's what God gives you to help you. Pray. And then you'll have peace. But make sure that you're praying with thanksgiving, because thanksgiving, number one, shows that you're praying trusting God because you're anticipating a good outcome because you're trusting God. It keeps you humble because thankfulness is an expression of humility. And it provides a peace that'll overcome any situation in your life. And it'll protect your heart and it'll protect your mind. Satan wants to take that away from you. You guard it. Guard it with everything you have. Because if you do guard it, he can't take anything away from you. You guys understand that? Okay, that's it for today.